What's up, Atlanta? Welcome on in to preseason week number two. The Atlanta Falcons taking on the Tennessee Titans after a scrappy and delectable couple of days of joint practices at Flowery Branch. We saw fisticuffs. We saw our quarterback getting involved. Don't know if I love that. We'll talk about that later on in the show and a whole lot more. For those of you keeping score at home, I don't know how many of you are. If you are, you're a different kind of Falcons fan, one that I love, the crazy kind, just like all of us here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. But the final was 23-20. Tennessee did edge the Falcons with a late Joey Sly field goal to put them up 23-20. And that was all she wrote. 404-726-0929. I'm here to do one thing and one thing only, and that is talk to you. So how you feeling after this one, Falcons fans? Easton Stick came back down to earth, but then he recovered nicely in the second half. Defense continues to look pretty strong. A couple of guys that didn't play that I have some questions about. A couple of guys that did play that I thought really stood out. We'll talk about all of that. I got producer G alongside with me. So we are jam-packed, rocking and rolling until 2 a.m. So get on the horn. 404-726-0929. Final preseason game is already here. It's going to be against Dallas next week, 8 o'clock start. So we will wrap this puppy up sooner than you know it. It's crazy how time flies when you're having fun. We had our final couple of days up at Flowery Branch as well this week on the radio station. We'll let you hear some of what Michael Penix had to say about his involvement in the scraps and a whole lot more coming up later on in the show. But let's start off with what we saw. Right out the chute, they decide to go with a run play. And it looked a whole lot better than it did in the first game. And there is no doubt in my mind that after going 11 carries for 22 yards in the first preseason game, that this coaching staff came out with a message. And that was as follows. We can still run the rock, even with our less than stellar backup offensive line, which we'll get to in just a minute, because they were not good again. They were better, but they still weren't good. And that's something that we are closely monitoring here, as camps will be closing sooner than later, and we may need to be looking at a couple of dudes to add to the offensive line to help make sure that if somebody does need to miss any time or even just a couple of plays in the game, that the whole house of cards doesn't come crumbling down because the second unit or members of it, of the offensive line, get in the game. But I thought that run play right out the chute was intentional, and it made a statement. Hey, we looked like crap last week running the ball. Now we're back, and we can do this thing. So I like that right out of the chute, right? You get a fourth down attempt early. You get the fourth and three, but Stick missed it. And he was okay. He got a little dose of reality in this one. He looked really good. Like, Easton Stick looked so good last week that Garrett and I were sitting here talking about, well, you know, if they trade Cousins, I'm not too shabby to have a guy like Easton Stick as a backup. But he got humbled really, really quickly. He made an errant throw, we'll call it, that cost him six, as it was taken back to the house by the Titans, and not good. That was in the second quarter. No, that was in the first quarter. Cam Ward starts for the Titans. We got to see him get some game action here. He finished 2 for 7 for 42 yards. He had one really. He looked like a former, you know, number one overall pick. He showed some stuff. He had some really, really good throws. One in particular that went for 30 yards. And then the rest of it, he looked like a rookie. He was rolling out a lot, trying to find guys down the field, throwing from he had an interesting pass where he was throwing it essentially like a bubble screen type thing, and he threw it like Mahomes sidearm style. It didn't work. So he clearly, you know, he's got to just refine his tools and get back to, you know, what got him to be a number one overall pick in the first place. But that was all she wrote for him, for Cam Ward. He finished, again, 2 for 7 for 42 yards. Brandon Allen took over, and he played the majority of the game. Natrone Brooks, he's a guy that's going to be very interesting to follow. A guy that can play special teams, a guy that's played multiple positions in the secondary. He was good. He had a pick of Brandon Allen today. James Pierce Jr., talk about a guy that you want to consistently hear and see a lot from. He had a strong outing again today. He played a lot. He played into the fourth quarter, and the guys on the broadcast on Fox 5 were talking about how, you know, he slowed down a little bit at the end of the game, and he just hasn't – listen, nobody has full game reps at this point, right? What are we talking about here? This is the most these guys have been playing, especially a guy like James Pierce Jr., fresh out of college, but he got in really, really nice pressure on Allen that was able to lead to an errant throw that Natron Brooks was able to pick up. Another thing not good here, guys, in the first half, seven penalties for 50 yards. You got to clean that up. And I don't know if y'all were watching and what y'all saw, but it seemed to me that every single special teams play had a flag, not just for the Falcons, but for the Titans as well. So I don't know what was going on there, why the special team stuff was so sloppy. Maybe they were trying different guys out in different positions, but for me, that is something I definitely need to see cleaned up. Younghoe Koo, we got to see him kick tonight. That was a sight for sore eyes. He went 2 for 2. In the second quarter, he hit one from 42 to cut the lead from 6-3. The Titans, when they scored their touchdown, missed the extra point, so it was 6-3. And then literally right as the first half was ending, you got a late touchdown, a really nice grab from rookie Gunnar Helm from Brandon Allen to end the first half. And that was I got to just give it to him. He had two defenders draped all over him. It kind of looked like, what Drake London did in practice this week, where he mossed the player. If you missed that video, just search Drake London. It'll pop right up. He literally reached his hands over the defender to grab the ball, and he came down with it. He's a huge, big, strong guy, Helm, I believe out of Texas, a guy that could make some noise for the Titans. That was your first half performance. In the third quarter, our guy Nathan Carter got things rumbling and stumbling and bumbling, and he looked good. He had a rushing touchdown where he found a crease right. It looked like straight out of the A-gap and just took it to the house. Falcons were able to cut the lead there to 13-10. And then on the ensuing kickoff, they were able to cause a fumble and recover. I can't pronounce the third string tight end's last name, Quatario. It's something along those lines. But he made a really nice play. Apparently, this was his first time playing on special teams. And, you know, sometimes they say the cliche, Mike Johnson driving home right now is going to want to drive off the road. Sometimes you're just a ball player. And it doesn't matter what position you're playing. If you're on the field, you're going to be able to make a play. So these are all the things that I'm noticing throughout the game. If you want to weigh in on any of them, again, 404-726-0929 is the number. This is the Falcons Flyover with Chris Thomas Turtle. I'll be with you all season long right here after the postgame show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Koo, again, was up for the task. He made one from 39 to tie it at 13-all. That was nice to see him go 2 for 2. I think that competition's over, if you ask me. I don't really think Lenny Krieg is going to do anything at this point to sway the coaches. Koo has been consistent at camp. Now he's been consistent in the games. I think he's going to get a shot at a redemption song here for the Atlanta Falcons in 2025. How about a Brandon Dorlus sighting? A guy that really needs to show that he's in the mix for a job as this defensive line rotation to have a serious case to get some playing time. He had a really nice tackle for loss. I thought he looked good tonight. The defensive line rotation in general through the first two games, I think, has been strong. There's a lot of bodies, some of which aren't playing. We got a dose of Morgan Fox tonight, who we didn't see in the first game. Jalen Walker didn't play. He has a hamstring injury, so that's going to be worth – oh, groin injury, thank you. That's going to be worth noting throughout the next couple of weeks here how – slowly or quickly, they ramp him up. Then they got another touchdown, did Tennessee. Their third or fourth-string running back, Jefferson, punched one in to make it 20-17 Tennessee. And then a sight for sore eyes. This is becoming a pattern. Late in the third quarter, Easton Stick with a with a rocket. I didn't realize his arm was that strong, honestly. To Chris Blair, 52 yards to the house to tie this thing at 20-20. So a really, really nice connection forming between Easton Stick and Chris Blair. And we'll see if that connection continues into Friday night's matchup against Dallas. So we enter the fourth quarter. This thing's tied. You would think that would mean it's been a good game. It really wasn't. It was a lot of sloppiness. This really felt like a preseason game, a lot more so than week one, in my opinion, versus Detroit. And we did find something out after the game that I thought was interesting. No slight to him, but passing game coordinator TJ Yates was actually the one calling the plays tonight, not Zach Robinson. So I don't know if that led to a change in formations or a change in plan and maybe, you know, cause some slight confusion. Because we did have in the fourth quarter something that I tweeted out jokingly. You can give me a follow at C Thomas Radio, that it was giving Falcons fans PTSD to last year, because in the same series, they had to burn two timeouts because Emory Jones and the offense was not able to get information and get the play going. And again, not one but two of the timeouts for the Falcons had to be burned in the fourth quarter. And then unfortunately, Emory Jones took a big hit on a run trying to make a first down, and he had to exit the game. So Easton Stick actually was the one who wound up finishing the game. All that they were able to muster up in the fourth quarter for the Titans was a field goal from Joey Sly. He made one from 23, a chip shot. That was 23-20. Emory Jones, again, hit hard on fourth down trying to make a play, and they got one final possession after that, and that was all she wrote. So that's the skinny, right? That's the essentially what happened in this game, everything that you need to know. We'll have highlights and post-game sound and everything coming up later on in the show. But those were my observations. Those were my game notes that I took for this one. Again, if you want to weigh in, you're always welcome to call. This is your show too, the Falcons Flyover. 404-726-0929 is the number to get involved. So when we get back, here's what I want to do. G and I are going to talk some QBs, because I think right now is a really interesting inflection point to talk about the quarterback room for the Atlanta Falcons. Easton Stick kind of took a little bit of a step back, although he did, again, find the touchdown to Blair late in the game to make up for the pick six, but he sort of took a little bit of a slide back. So where are we right now with this quarterback room? Michael Penix Jr. getting involved in scraps. We'll let you hear some from him at the joint practices, but what is the state of the Atlanta Falcons quarterback room right now? We'll take your calls on that as well. 404-726-0929. Are we actually lucky to have Kirk Cousins as the backup, or is Easton Stick going to show us enough in the third game to make us feel like, hey, if he goes, we'll be just fine with Easton Stick backing up Michael Penix Jr.? We'll talk about that next. It is the Falcons Flyover with Chris Thomas Turtle with you until 2 a.m. 92.9 The Game.
Tight end, two receivers to the right, two guys here to the left, Blair and Nash. Snap to Stick, looking left. Down for Blair in stride, 20, 15, 10, 5, touchdown. Another Easton Stick to Chris Blair connection for a Falcon touchdown here in the preseason.
Watch out, becoming lethal.
And we'll see if they can make it 3-4-3. Thanks to Archie West on the Atlanta Falcons Radio Network. Both games, Chris Blair and Easton Stick have connected for touchdowns. And again, if they get the opportunity, I don't see why they can't do it again next Friday, a week from tonight, against Dallas at Jerry's World. It is Chris Thomas Turtle with you until 2 a.m. on the Falcons Flyover. The number to call, as always, 404-726-0929. What'd you think? I thought it was sloppy tonight. There were things to like. A lot of things I didn't like. Too many penalties. The running game looked better. Still didn't look great. You had the one big play from Carter. Offensive line looked better at times, but also, again, way too many penalties. Both tackles, two penalties each, so a lot to clean up. Defense continues to look pretty good. Gave up a couple of big chunk plays, one to Cam Ward at the beginning, but, you know, nothing crazy. I thought the competitions at safety, corner, nickel are all going about as well as you can hope, with a lot of dudes that are out there competing for just a couple of spots. And that was sort of the story of the game. 23-20, the Titans edge out the Falcons in the fourth quarter on a Joey Sly field goal. But what was the story of the week, may you ask? That was Michael Penix Jr. And that was him being involved in one of the several scrums, skirmishes, Donnybrooks, hubbubaloos, whatever you want to call them, that took place this week at Flowery Branch. And when QB1 is in the middle of the fracas, it's going to get talked about. And he not only held his own, but the whole team came out to defend their quarterback. And you absolutely love to hear that. You absolutely love to see the team respond that way. And that sort of became the overarching theme. Not only did the Falcons play well against the Titans in their joint scrimmages, which everyone argues is more important than the actual game that took place tonight, because you actually got to see the starters, but the quarterback really took a leap forward in terms of his leadership and showing that, hey, this team, we got a new attitude, and we're not going to be pushed around, and this is not the same old Falcons, and you absolutely love to see that and hear that. Here was Michael Penix after practice late this week talking about the skirmish and what happened.
Competitive, threw a deep pass. They had a lot of words throughout practice, so I gave my words and just went a little bit too far. I don't know. I was somebody else. I don't really remember. That's not something that we want to be doing in practice. We want to get our reps in, you know, get that good work in. But it went how it went. But to see the team have my back and they were there, make sure they protect me. A lot of guys asked me if I was good, and it was good to know that those guys got my back. So I don't know where I was at in it. It was a lot of people. I know I was down there somewhere. I wasn't the only one, though.
It looked like when everything was calming down, you kind of didn't mind going over and giving them a few more words, and the teammate kind of held you back.
Nah, I really don't remember what happened. That was somebody else out there.
They were so used to seeing you like calm, cool, and collected.
Yeah, that's me.
Yes. So.
That's me. What? I don't know what that was.
That was him getting PO'd. And getting in his bag and mixing it up. I don't mind it as long as he didn't get hurt. I mean, you know, good. Listen, this team, Garrett, correct me if I'm wrong, has felt so passive the last few seasons. To see the edge that guys like James Pierce Jr., Michael Penix Jr. are coming in and bringing into the huddles on the offense and the defense, I welcome it. I absolutely welcome it. Again, as long as it's not stupid, yeah. I welcome it, because this is a sight for sore eyes for Falcons fans to see that this team, they're not going to be pushed around. I love it.
Yeah, and look, that was a theme for this team for a very long time. You know, I mean, this is a squad where Mike Smith used to harp on how the Falcons aren't a soft team. I've got a drop in here somewhere, but
Falcons are soft.
The Falcons are soft.
Falcons are overrated.
But that's just doesn't feel like this team. It does feel a lot different, and it starts with what this defense has done. You know, Caden Ellis is a guy who's vocal. He's talkative on that defense. You've got a guy like Leonard Floyd who isn't afraid to get in your face either. James Pierce is a very physical guy. We've seen and heard about him all summer long, you know, and it just feels different. It feels different.
And that's,
will it equate to wins?
I don't know. But you know what? Can't hurt. You know what? It absolutely can't hurt. That is a winning ingredient in the stew, in the formula, the stew, the science glass. What were those things called in science class where the smoke would come out of it?
The beakers.
The beakers. Yeah. The beaker of the ingredients that makes up a winning team.
Nice guys don't win football games.
That's exactly right. Look, that's one of them.
You know, country club guys, I mean, that you can have a couple guys like that on your team. I think that's okay. But you also need to have some other dudes out there who are not afraid to eat some glass for dinner.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, and that's kind of what this team has lacked for a very long time. And I think this team has that edge back, and it's not just one guy either. I know James Pierce has gotten a lot of the attention for that, but it's a lot more than just what James has done. You know, I think it's top to bottom. This defense, it starts there, but you saw it a little bit from the offense earlier this week, and I think that's just such a good thing. You know, because this team needed something like that, a little kick in the shorts. You know,
desperately,
energy.
I would argue desperately, because gee, there are jobs on the line this year. This is different. This isn't, you know, well, odd G Willikers will get him next time. No, no, no. There is no next time. If you mess around and find out this year, you're going to be out of a job. I don't care who you are in this organization, top to bottom.
And then at that point, you might be looking at a new head coach, a new general manager. And you know what new general managers and new head coaches don't like? Quarterback that they didn't draft. You know, unless you have like a steady franchise quarterback who's established and he's your guy. But if it's a young quarterback who's still kind of going through it and kind of figuring his way, and I mean, maybe Michael Penix is in that situation by the end of the season if this team doesn't fully come together, then you're just at a crossroads, and then you're just on a different timeline, which is kind of what you saw with Raheem Morris with Terry Fontenot. Two good guys who I really like a lot, who I think are doing a good job well as they can, at least. And it just sometimes it feels like they're on different timelines, you know. But maybe this year it finally comes together.
Speaking of quarterbacks, let me ask this question very plainly, G. Should Kirk Cousins play in the final preseason game?
Absolutely not.
You don't think so?
I don't think anybody plays in the final preseason game.
I think he should.
Why?
He should. Show him off.
To who?
Other teams. That he's helped. Because I was talking about this with Joe Patrick the other day. Like, how much do other teams know where Kirk Cousins is right now? That's my question.
A perfect example of what you're talking about is, did you see the poll that was done? 50 analysts, or not analysts, 50 team executives for The Athletic?
No.
How they ranked quarterbacks?
No, I didn't see it.
He comes in. So they ranked the quarterbacks in the NFL based off of their tiers, right? And they have a ranking in there, but I don't think the ranking is all that important necessarily, but there is a ranking in there. Like Patrick Mahomes is number one, and then you have Lamar Jackson is in there, and you have Josh Allen, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Sure. They have Joe Burrow being the number two guy. Whatever, not the point. Kirk Cousins dropped 12 spots last year, from last year to this year. He's at, I believe, off the top of my head, 24 or something in the NFL. Bottom of tier three. He's the last rated quarterback in tier three. Michael Penix is sitting in there like right around 27, 26 at the top of tier four. That tells me pretty much what I need to know about what the rest of the NFL views in Kirk Cousins. It's a quarterback who's past his prime, who did not look like himself at the end of last season, and I know he says that he didn't forget how to play quarterback, but that is the last thing that people remember about you, and that's just a reality. So to your point, yeah, I see what you're saying, but the time to do that would have been today or last week.
Well, I agree.
Not next week. The ship sailed. You're not playing starters or second stringers next week.
I thought he should have played tonight because not only are you showcasing him, but to your point, if they feel like they're watching the guy that is number 24 on the list, you can get more for him.
Yeah.
As opposed to not knowing what he is right now or just having to guess based off the limited film that the Falcons release.
Yeah, but the thing is, like, what are you
like
gonna
how
get?
Mobile
are you really
it, like,
is it are, is that is him playing in a preseason game going to change anybody's opinion of him?
Here's why it could.
Because, I don't think it will at all.
Because you actually get to see him move around, and that's the most important part. Because if you remember, what he said to the media was, at the beginning of the year last year, it wasn't anything else but the ankle that was bothering him. And that's why he looked so slow. That's why he plodded around so much. Mm-hmm. And then when he got hurt again, it was the arm. So nothing was ever fully in sync for Kirk Cousins last year, except for a few short weeks where he was really, really good. So how close is he to being back to that version of Kirk Cousins, if at all, is the giant question mark. And I think if you showcase him to say, hey, yes, he can move, his ankle's fine, his shoulder's fine, his elbow's fine, you could get more. Maybe that's the difference between a fifth-round pick and a fourth-round pick.
Yeah, I just don't think it's going to make a difference at all because he's going to be going out there against some other guy. I know it's not about the other guys or the stats or anything else, to your point.
No, it's about him.
It's about him. I get that fact. But also, I don't think it's going to change anything, ultimately. I don't think people look at the preseason in the way that they used to because it's a vanilla. I mean, that's what Raheem Morris called it, a very vanilla. And it's not something where you're going to really test anybody. You know, I mean, I get it's live bullets and things change and it's on TV, so people treat it a little bit differently, but it's a glorified scrimmage that doesn't ultimately mean anything. But I see your point when you put it together that way. I understand what you're trying to say with it. I just don't think it's going to be something that happens.
No, it's not. And that's the shame of it, because I think, again, tonight would have been an opportunity to showcase that, but they chose for whatever reason not to do it.
Well, they said that it's because they got all the reps they needed in these joint practices. That's what they said.
So let me read something to you real quick on that note before we take a quick break here. Coming up at the top of the hour, we will hear from Coach Ra and from Easton Stick as he caught up with Arch after the game in the Falcons locker room. This is transcribed from our good friend Taren Walk of AtlantaFalcons.com. This is on if Kirk Cousins is necessary to get some preseason games based on how last season ended. No, Kirk Cousins' problem last year was when we had to make the change was turnovers. All the things that I can evaluate within the steady confines of what we're doing right now, I feel like if we want to get him out there just to get him some work, I'm going to definitely compromise with a guy that's been playing in the league for that long. He's been playing for a long, long time. He knows the amount of work he requires. He knows exactly what he needs to be ready. Interesting. Kind of sounds like to me Kirk wants to play. That, based off of that comment, that's what it sounds like.
I mean, he's a football player. They all want to play.
Yeah.
They just want to play football. You know, they don't care. I mean, it's just, I don't know. He wants to just play football. He said that when he met with Arthur. He said it at the end of the season. That's just been mostly his message.
Well, I think he's thinking about it the way I am.
Yeah. No, I think you're right. He wants to show people that, hey, yeah, I'm healthy. But at the end of the day, but it's like, who's trading for him?
Nobody Not yet.
But the thing is, you get to that point, say there's an injury across the NFL somewhere, someone gets aggressive or desperate enough, hopefully. I think that is going to be the kicker more than anything, is the desperation factor for another franchise. It's not him playing in a preseason game.
No, but it could only, if he's good, it could only help.
Well, I'm sure they'd show him.
Yeah.
I'm sure they'd let them come down and look at him in practice.
Well, I was just about to say, speaking of practice, you were there. How did he look in practice?
He looks fine. He looks fine.
From what I understand, he did push the ball.
But he's pushing the ball well.
Okay.
He's moving around decently. I mean, he's not really a great athlete just in general, but it's like as far as him compared to other professional athletes, he's a below average athlete. He doesn't move very well in the pocket necessarily, but I mean, he's fine.
He's in very good shape, though.
Yeah, no, he's in good shape.
I was surprised. When I saw him for the first time last year, that really stuck out at me because I didn't realize, like, he's jacked.
Yeah,
but
no.
He's just not, he's not, you know.
He's not fleet of foot.
He's no Bijan Robinson.
No, he's not gonna make people look silly. But no, I mean, ultimately, I think the shoulder looks fine. He's pushing the ball down the field well. I think he's okay, you know. I mean, he's somebody who can quarterback an offense. And that's really the important thing. It's now, are you going to get a lot for him? Maybe not. I mean, third, fourth, fifth round pick is probably what I would expect.
Well, if they get a third round pick, I'd be dancing in the streets.
Yeah, but I don't expect that at all. But I'm saying that's probably going to be the ask, and they'll probably settle on like a fourth.
Yeah, something like that.
But we'll see. I mean, they still say that he's going to be their backup quarterback. So I'll believe a trade when I see it.
Yeah. If he makes it to all 17 weeks as the backup, that would be incredible. All right, when we get back again, we'll hear from Coach Ra. We'll hear from Easton Stick. What did Coach and QB1 for tonight have to say after the game? That's coming up to kick off hour number two of the Falcons Flyover Sports Radio. 92.9 The Game.
Here's the snap. Empty set for Stick and a throw to the left. It's intercepted. Picked off and going the other way. The Titans are headed to the end zone and a touchdown. Kendall Brooks, first year out of Michigan State, played 5 games last year on his 4th team. Just got a pick 6 off Ethan Stick.
Yeah, maybe we need Kirk Cousins after all. Ethan Stick, after literally I tweeted the emoji of Johnny Storm doing his flame on last week, because he was like ripping it down the field, and this week kind of came back down to earth a little bit. It is the Falcons Flyover. Chris Thomas Turtle with you until 2 o'clock. 404-726-0929 is the number to get involved to react to tonight's game and what happened this week at the joint practices. If you want to get in on the should they or shouldn't they play conversation that Garrett and I were just having, we will take your calls on that as well. It was a very ugly, very much a preseason affair 23-20 was the final score. Some highlights, as you heard there. There were a couple of nice plays on defense, the interception. There was a couple of nice plays on offense. You had another touchdown to Chris Blair. But all in all, it was a very penalty-filled plotting. The game took a long time. It took almost 3.5 hours for a preseason game. I feel bad for our guys, Shock and Kutcher and Coy Wire in the booth. A lot of filling going on in that fourth quarter. Not exactly a whole ton to talk about. Emory Jones did unfortunately have to leave the game after getting sandwiched between two Titans defenders when he was trying to run for a first down. So his evening was unfortunately cut short. And Easton Stick came out to finish that game as well. Right now, let's take a listen to our coach, Coach Ra. He caught up with Dave Archer in the Falcons locker room after the game, and this was their conversation.
Raheem, I think that when you don't see the normal names, the Jesse Bates and the Caden Ellis's out there, you as a fan, you kind of strain to know what you're supposed to look for. What did you see without watching the tape, obviously, that you're going to watch here later on?
You know, obviously the expectations remain the same no matter who's out there, and you expect the same execution with the calls that we're giving them. So you want the guys to be able to go out there and execute. You want to do like they did in the second half and play penalty-free football. You want them to go up there and be able to play our style, our brand, the physicality, and all those type of things, which we got a chance to see with the run game, which we got a chance to see with a little bit better pass rush in the second half. And also, when you cut down on those penalties, you can really get an evaluation of the play callers and what they're doing. So it's a really good opportunity for us to get out and get some game-like experience and to learn those lessons. Pretty much, you know, some shameless lessons you can get out the way in the first half with some of those penalties that we had on the offensive line, things of that nature.
It's a great team, the AIM, that we have a chance to be associated with, but individuals are guys that you poke out at. I know you mentioned the running back, Nathan Carter. Tell me about some of the guys that stuck out to you a little bit, if you can.
You know, Nathan Carter, with the big run, he was able to get out there with some of the really good runs he got going on. Got a couple catches in there in the mix. He's able to do some really good things. Corbin's been out there playing some special teams, got some really tough runs, some hard runs, able to go downhill and play. You know, Jack Nelson being able to go out there and play back-to-back full-time at right tackle and really hold up and do such a really good job. Easton Stick going out there, continue to play well and do the things that he able to do, even bouncing back from an interception, being able to get his back into that game, potentially setting up for a win. You got guys on defense going out there, D. Malone, every single week, and what he's able to do, rushing the passer, playing inside linebacker, playing special teams, Natron Books, and what he's able to do, getting an interception, coming up on a crack with plays, really making a tackle, going out on special teams, returning balls on kickoff returns, D. Offert, all of those guys, man. We got Drummond back there returning punts, and like, it's exciting to go watch those guys play and go do different things, whether it's Teagan when he goes out there and causes a fumble on special teams and recovers himself, sets our offense up, and just to see the excitement from these guys on the sideline, even the guys not playing, just watching those guys go out there and talk to their guys and cheer.
The value of the football, you've talked about it all the time. You want to get after the passer, but you want to value and get after the football. Take care of it, take it away. You continue to take it away. How pleased are you with that?
Really pleased with being able to take away. We gave one away tonight, which was a pick six. You want to eliminate those things, but if we continue to get the ball at that rate and we continue to be able to rush the passer and make people keep people in for protection and those things, man, I think that's something that's going to really help us in boat as well.
James Pierce on the field at the end of the game chasing people down, almost had his first sack right there at the end of the football game. Jalen Walker was unable to play.
Yes.
Any comment about those two guys?
You know, Pierce, really proud of. You know, we tried to play him a little bit early, and then at the end of the game, you got to find your way through, so he has to go out there and just spell for people and do some different things and rush the passes when necessary. He's a guy that just doesn't complain about anything. We'll go on at any time, but really fired up seeing him watch and chasing around the passer. He's drawing a lot of attention with some of the chips. He's drawing a lot of attention with slide, which all the things that you want him to have. Love to get Jalen back out there. You know, had a really good week of practice. You know, got injured at the end of the deal, a little bit of a groin that he got at the end of that practice the other day, so he held him next week.
I had Josh Thompson as my star of the game. Couple plays on special teams.
Josh Thompson goes out and plays, you know, with just the thing in between his chest every single week, and he plays with ultimate heart. He plays hard. He plays tough. He plays physical. So, you know, you can pick a bunch of different guys that play like that, but he's definitely one of them.
Thanks, Coach. Appreciate
it. Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, we have a bunch of those guys on the team this year. Thompson had a couple of nice plays tonight. You mentioned a guy like Natron Brooks. I mean, there's a Kadero Hodge, the special teams captain and leader of that bunch. Listen, I don't think this team is going to be lacking for star power in any three phases of the game. The big thing, G, is going to be the guys who are behind them, especially the offensive line is something we've been harping on. A couple of areas I'm not worried too much about depth. I think we got a lot of good bodies in the defensive secondary. Just got to figure out who's playing where and when. Defensive line rotation is strong. Linebacking core, though, and the offensive line could be areas of need.
It's one of the sad realities of missing in draft picks. I mean Terry Fontenot, for as well as he's done at times, he has missed a lot of those depth picks in the NFL draft. And I mean, he's largely done pretty well by NFL standards, but it's just one of those things.
Very top heavy.
It is very top heavy. And then on the other side, it's what happens when you trade a third round pick for a guy who's not even on your roster anymore. You make trades like that. You do things like that. It's very aggressive, and it's good if it works. It's very bad if it doesn't. And that's something that's kind of plagued this team, and it's kind of coming to a head this season. Just in terms of depth, I think the team, is, if they stay healthy, I think that's really the number one thing.
Yeah, and that obviously
more so than other teams. I mean, every team in the NFL, you can make that same comment. But for the Falcons, a team like this, that especially where like you lose a Drake London, you lose a Bijan Robinson, like you're in bad shape.
Yeah. Well, we're going to see how they do potentially if Darnell Mooney needs to miss the opening week. Who are you going to be? Is it Casey Washington? Is it, you know, Ray McLeod's had a strong camp? You know, there are guys that are going to need to step up. Speaking of a guy that needed to step up, Easton Stick had a nice bounce back second half performance after throwing that pick six in the first half. He caught up with Arch in the locker room after the game.
Easton, phenomenal performance in game one. We didn't get a chance to talk to you after game one for obvious reasons. You had a tremendous first game in the preseason. Came out tonight. Things were a little slower for the team. Tell me and I how things started tonight. I know it didn't get off to a great start for you, but you rallied.
Yeah, it was a little slow, obviously. Yeah, gave him a free one, which is no fun. Mm-hmm. Hurts the team, obviously, quite a bit. And then, yeah, we just hurt ourselves. A lot of self-inflicted stuff. Finally got out of our own way a little bit there in the third quarter, and we did good things. It's tough when you're hurting yourself consistently.
Tell me about that. What do you do from a leadership standpoint? You're standing in the huddle and you get a big play. Nathan rips off a big run. Mm-hmm. You get a holding on Drummond and it comes back. What do you got to tell to the huddle to try to keep them in a positive frame of mind and moving forward?
Yeah, you just try to get to the next play. You know, I had to do the same thing. They did the same thing for me after my big one. So it's just part of it. And you understand, you look at the scoreboard, shoot, we were down 6-0 for the whole half. And it felt like, you know, it could have been a lot worse. And it wasn't. You're a play away. And we were right there. Like I said, it was on us more than anything else, and obviously it starts with me, so hopefully we do a better job next week.
What's this been like for you? Because you're working with a ton of different receivers. It's not like you've got three or four guys that you count on. You got everybody's counting on you, and you're counting on them. You seem to have developed a little bit of a rapport with Chris Blair. What's going on there?
Well, he's a good player, so that makes it easy, right? He gets open, and 50-50 balls haven't been 50-50 with him, so he's a really good player. It's easy to throw to him. We got a ton of good guys, players. Up front is really good. The backs are great. Nate had the big run, but all those guys are doing a really good job. And so it's a good group. We're capable of playing better, and hopefully we do next week.
Walk me through the read where you hit Chris down the sideline. Great read by you. Saw the corner squat, took the shot.
Yeah. Similar to what we, you know, when we threw the interception earlier, concept-wise, and the coverage is a little bit different. Like you said, the corner was kind of reading through me. We broke out on the inside, and then, you know, CB had a step. So, tried to get one back there.
All right, tell me about your mindset now as you move forward. You've played a great deal of the first two football games that you've proven to everybody. Everybody knew before you got here, but you've proven that you could be a guy that they could lean on to play quarterback here. What's your thought process with what's going on at that position and in the team concept and all that?
Yeah, just trying to get better. That's the biggest thing. I want, you know, to leave this preseason and have those guys, have everybody in the building feel, you know, really good about what I did and what I can do if it comes to that. So, like I said, just trying to get to know the guys, learn the system better. There's stuff that popped up tonight that, you know, I'm going through it for the first time. We all are. And so that's a good thing. You learn from it, watch the tape and get better. And like I said, hopefully play a little bit better next week.
All right, my man. Thanks for your time.
Yeah, thank you. Appreciate it.
G, before we go to break, I'm going to put you on the spot. Does Easton Stick have any time this season on the active roster for the Falcons?
Do you count emergency quarterback as the active roster?
No.
Then no, probably not.
It's a tough question, right?
No, I mean, it depends on what I'm Kirk. He's the third quarterback. Very quickly, third quarterbacks can become first quarterbacks. Or second quarterbacks.
Yeah, we've seen it. I'm going to agree with you. I don't think he does.
Yeah.
Because part of me kind of – the more this thing – let me put it to you this way, G. The more this thing drags out with Kirk Cousins, the more convinced I am there's a really good chance he just stays here. the entire season.
Like, yeah, it wouldn't surprise me at all.
If you told me 6 months ago that we'd be at this point, I would have laughed you out of the room. I would have said, based off what happened, based off of what he did, going on national TV, the whole nine yards, requesting meetings with Arthur Blank, going over Terry Fontenot's head. I mean, I would have said,
I still think that was so rich.
I know.
Good for Art for coming in and actually sitting down and meeting with him, Uncle Arthur. But I mean,
I actually don't think they met in person.
No, it was a phone call.
Yeah, it was over the phone.
It was a phone call. But he still met with him, and I consider that quote unquote met with him. Spent time with him over the phone.
Yeah. Imagine being a fly on the wall in that conversation.
I would, like, that's the thing. Acting like you had any leverage in this situation whatsoever.
I just think it's rich. You had two injuries. You didn't tell us.
Yeah.
And then you went on national TV and told the entire world.
Yeah.
And I'm going to do you a favor, sir?
Less than a calendar year
I gave you $100 million.
No, a calendar year from less than a calendar year from when they got them for tampering charges because he couldn't keep his mouth closed.
He couldn't shut up about meeting with the doctors. Yeah.
Yeah, whatever, man. Come on.
It's been quite a saga here in Atlanta. All right, when we get back, we'll hear from two of the other stars of the game and Natron Brooks as well. As Chris Blair, as they had good games tonight, both for the Atlanta Falcons. You are listening to The Flyover with Chris Thomas Turtle, taking you up until 2 o'clock.
Third down, the full 10 after the incomplete pass a moment ago. Stick, hands to Carter. Look at Carter! 20, 15, 10, 5, touchdown Atlanta. Nathan Carter, who runs a 40 and 4-4, took about 7 strides, and the next thing you know, he's all by himself in the secondary.
He's been impressive, man. I know Carlos Washington appears to have that third running back spot locked up, but maybe Mr. Carter can find his way onto the roster. Dude's fast. He's built like a brick house, and he can run, man. You saw it on that play tonight, and he was playing well before the unfortunate incident happened last week with Mo Norris.
Yeah, and look, this is a guy who has made the most of his opportunity. And look, injuries are a part of this game. And you need to be ready to step in if the opportunity presents itself, and it did. And I think he's made the most of it, especially with today. You know, I mean, he's been solid.
Yeah, he's been good. He's been one of the, unfortunately, few standout players on offense through these first couple of games for the Falcons, along with Blair and Drummond.
Yeah, and I think he's done it most largely in spite of a kind of a lackadaisical offensive line play.
That's being nice. 404-726-0929. Let's see what you have to say. Let's head out to Brandon's Indicator, where it's greater. Brandon, go ahead. You're on the flyover.
Oh, man. Hey, how you guys doing tonight, man?
What's up, B?
Really loving what the Falcons got going on, but I wanted to touch on that Kirk Cousins thing, man. I really think, and you can catch me on this, but I really think that the Falcons are punishing Kirk in a very nice way. Look, we got the best backup QB in the league right now, all right? They don't care about him sitting down. They don't want him to play. They don't want to showcase him, okay? This is him going over Fontenot's head to go straight to Arthur Blank. Yeah, punishment time, buddy. Sit on down. You're going to watch the season now this year, and you're just going to chill out. You lied to us last year. You did all of that. We're not going to showcase you to any teams. We don't care about getting any money for you. We already paid for you. Sit on down. We'll keep the best backup in the league. And if you need to play and showcase some talent, then come on in and you'll do it. But if not, hey, you're just going to sit there. And guess what? If he does need to play, he's going to show out because he wants another contract.
Well, so Brandon, let me just paint this hypothetical for you, though. Let's say, God forbid, I don't know, in Seattle, Sam Darnold gets hurt in week 4. You don't think if the Falcons get a godfather offer for a team that feels like they can make the playoffs with Kirk Cousins as their starter that they'd move him?
Who's going to give a godfather offer for a quarterback that was hurt and they haven't seen him play?
Well, if the Seahawks start 4-0 and they feel like they're on a path to win their division and Kirk Cousins is sitting right there for them, why not?
I mean, again, why would they? They haven't seen him.
Well, that was my whole case, Brandon, as to, well, how did you feel about him not playing in the preseason? Do you think
that's my thing?
Played,
it's a punishment for Kirk. Don't showcase him. Nobody gets to see him, so it doesn't matter what you're going to offer. Nobody's going to offer anything for him. Sit down, Kirk. Humble yourself this year. You shouldn't have lied to us. That's what it is.
Yeah, thanks for the phone call, Brandon. I don't know, G. I just feel like if a team, like, I get his point 100%, but if a team gets desperate, again, let's say it's, I don't know, week four, week five, and a team starts 4-0 and they lose their starting quarterback for a while, you could get a decent return. You're simply not going to move him out of spite? I don't know.
I said in your ear, you're not going to cut off your nose to spite your face. This team needs picks. And this team needs depth, like we talked about. They've traded away a lot of their picks, especially, you know, the first overall pick that they're going to have next year. So they need to fill out the roster somehow. They need picks. So they're not going to – if an opportunity comes up where they can move off of $27 million, not that you're really going to do much with it anyway, but maybe you can open up an extension for somebody else.
I think the team – the most they could ask another team to eat would be like 10.
Yeah, I don't think it's really
more than that. That's not. I don't think that's realistic.
But this is a team who is entering a situation where they are going to have to start re-signing some players, extending some guys, and if I don't know how that would work necessarily. I don't think it's really going to have that big of an impact on that. But the money side of it, the money's gone. I mean, the money's sunk at this point. It's about getting assets as much as you can for a guy that you see as a backup quarterback who could have value somewhere else. If somebody's quarterback gets hurt, that's really your only that's your best bet. Really, it's your only
bet. It's your only bet, and it's something though that I think you're right. You reek of desperation there, because if you're the team that, again, I'm using Sam Darnold just as a hypothetical. The Seahawks are a team that could be in the mix for a playoff spot if they start hot and he goes down and he's going to miss some time, where he's going to miss the rest of the season, and Seattle feels like in an NFC West that who knows what the heck is going to happen, that they could win the division and make the playoffs, that they have a guy like Kirk as their starting quarterback, maybe you could get a third or fourth round pick for him. That's my whole point.
Well, another example is what happens in, I don't know, Minnesota. What if J.J. McCarthy?
Indianapolis.
Indianapolis isn't doing a damn thing. J.J. McCarthy, say his recovery from his ACL injury last summer isn't going the way that it needs to go, and I don't know where he stands on all that. Does he go back to an offense that he's already relatively familiar with? He played under McConnell and everything else. So maybe that's a situation where he could go. But again, I'm fishing here. I'm grasping at straws. I don't know of anything that's going to open up. I don't think anything's going to open up. I'm like you. I think he's going to end up being here for the rest of the season.
Yeah, well, you just named, Indianapolis, Minnesota, the Giants, but they have 10 quarterbacks in their room, the Browns, but they have 10. I'm naming the teams that are most likely to have a quarterback switch for performance reasons this season.
I see what you're saying. But that's not a franchise that's going to make a decision
to go for Kirk Cousins. No,
for
not,
what? Why?
No, there's no reason. There's Minnesota, maybe. But I don't, that's really the only one. Or again, like if a quarterback goes down, like in Seattle, or maybe, Geno Smith in Las Vegas, if they're making some noise, you know, there's a couple of teams that you could see that have no viable backup quarterback to speak of. Aiden O'Connell, sorry, but you know, it is what it is. 404-726-0929. Mike's also indicator. Mike, go ahead. What do you think?
All right. So, There's a very big factor that I haven't heard y'all say yet. Kirk's got a no trade clause, so he had a he could have got traded a long time ago, but he didn't want to go to a team that already has a quarterback that they're committed to, and he find himself in the same situation he was in here. So 9 times out of 10, Kirk's not going anywhere. Because
wait, Mike, let me just throw this at you though. But what's the better scenario for Kirk? Let's say he goes to a team where their quarterback goes down and he's expected to miss six games and then he'll be back as the starter. Wouldn't Kirk rather have 6 game tapes out there for other teams to see rather than 0, which is what he's gonna have if he stays here with the Falcons?
But that's actually saying that Kirk is desperate. But nothing he's done during the offseason would suggest that he's desperate.
Oh, contraire, Mike. Wait, hold on, Mike. You're telling me
Hang on.
You're telling me that going over Terry Fontenot's head to request a meeting with Arthur Blank asking for a trade is not desperate?
I'm telling you that purposely waiting and telling them not to make any moves until after the draft to see what teams drafted a young quarterback because you didn't want to be in that same situation? Plus, he's already been paid. His situation is what it is. But he's not trying to go. That's like he could have went to several places.
Where?
But he's not trying to be.
Where?
He's not trying to be in competition. He's not trying to be in competition.
Okay. You said he could have gone to several places. Name two.
Okay. Name all the teams that drafted a young quarterback during the draft. Because before the draft, he was very much in play.
Okay, so you think the Titans would have gone after Kirk Cousins instead of drafting Cam Ward?
No, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is Kurt made that decision. He has the no trade clause. The Falcons would be happy to get rid of him.
No, Mike,
Kurt
Mike,
is holding this up.
Mike, no. And I appreciate the phone call. Garrett, Mike has it backwards. He has the right, like, idea, but it's just flip-flopped. Kirk is the one who's desperate to play, not the other way around. Kirk would go anywhere right now. The fact that Kirk Cousins has a no-trade clause, Garrett, literally means zero right now. If there's a team that promises him playing time, he's going to go there. Because having game tape to showcase to the next team, potentially, is invaluable compared to... which is what he's going to get sitting on the bench for the Falcons.
Kirk's stated goal is that he wants to play football.
Play.
In 2024.
Play, Mike.
That was his stated goal.
Play, Mike.
Why would Kirk Cousins block a trade to a place that he could go play football and
again,
start?
Even if it's for six games, that's six games of full tape that is on display for everybody to see that says, hey, I'm still a damn good quarterback. Mm-hmm. I just got traded to a team that already had an established starter that got hurt.
And I don't think that he was the one blocking anything. I don't think that the Falcons had a trade deal that was all set up and then he blocked it.
I don't think there was a
nothing,
trade prospect, period, ever.
There is absolutely no substantiated evidence that states, no reports whatsoever that I saw that indicate in any way whatsoever that Kirk Cousins blocked a trade.
No, the only thing we heard, G, was that teams inquired. And
sure.
That
they picked up the phone.
And by
and
the
they
fact
asked.
That he wasn't moved shows you, I think, what type of offers they were getting.
Yeah. Or it's the Falcons asked a lot, which I did see. The Falcons were they had a high asking price. They wanted him to the other teams to pick up his contract and send them a day two pick. And teams balked at that. They're like, no, I'm okay. We'll move on. Like if you were the Cleveland Browns, they probably were one of those teams who picked up the phone and called. Before they go sign Joe Flacco, before they go get Kenny Pickett, before they draft Shedeur Sanders or Dylan Gabriel, you're probably picking up the phone and you're calling to see what a seasoned, grizzled veteran, if you will, in Kirk Cousins could do. Because that's a team who needs a good quarterback, someone who's just steady. That's what Kirk Cousins could have been for them.
Yeah.
There's a reason they didn't do it.
It's like Mike was calling from like an inverted phone.
I know what he's trying to say.
Yeah, but it's the opposite, Mike. Like, it's the opposite of what you were trying to say. Kirk is the one who's desperate to go play, not the other way around.
The Falcons are not desperate to move off of him.
No, right?
It's a sunk cost.
Au contraire, Monfrere, again.
They're fine.
Terry Fontenot came out multiple times. We have the cuts in our system that we could pull if we need to. I don't think we do. But I'm just saying, the evidence is there. Terry Fontenot, on multiple occasions stated, we are comfortable with Kirk Cousins as our backup. And, the literal words.
And Kirk Cousins is not a malcontent. He sat on we talked to him a week and a half ago, 2 weeks ago, right before the first preseason game. And he is in a good headspace.
He was out there tonight throwing passes,
doing his thing. He's practicing well. He's helping he's helping Michael Penix prepare. He's going through tape and he's being a good teammate. And look, I don't hold it against Kirk Cousins anymore. I think he's a good dude. I really do. And I think he's a good teammate. I think he wants the team to win and he's going to do what he can to help whichever team he's on win football games. And he's not going to be a malcontent and mess with anything like that.
All right. When we get back, we'll close up shop. 404-726-0929 is the number. If you want to jump in, it's really fascinating what's going to happen with Kirk. But again, unless something crazy happens in terms of an offer, I agree with Garrett. I think he's going to be here. And the more that I see him in a Falcons uniform this season, the more I'm really starting to believe it. All right, when we get back, we will let you hear from Chris Blair and Natron Brooks as we wrap up the Falcons flyover week 2 preseason edition. Chris Thomas Turtle with you till the top of the hour.
First and 10, the 43 of Tennessee. Here's a straight drop by Allen. He'll cut it loose. It's intercepted. Picked off Natron Brooks. Looking for room at the near side. 30 down to the 26 of the Titans. Brandon Allen cuts that joker loose, and Natron Brooks was right there to catch it.
We got a interesting case on our hands here, peeps. A guy like Natron Brooks is doing his darndest to make his way onto this roster, and I think he will. He's been really good. I think there's a lot of, again, as we talked about earlier in the show, I think there's a lot of healthy competition battles that are going on in camp right now, and Natron Brooks in the defensive backfield is definitely making his case to be a part of that mix, so much so that he was one of the players tonight that got interviewed by Arch after the game. Take a listen here on the Falcons flyover with Chris Thomas.
One of the guys that made some plays tonight, Natron Brooks at the corner spot, had the big interception. Let's go there. Outstanding read by you, reading the quarterback, jumped that little post route. Tell me about it.
Yes, sir. Well, it was just one of those coverages. Well, we've been practicing it a lot and still trying to perfect it, and I just read my keys and kind of, you know, having a joint practice kind of helped it, you know what I'm saying, because they showed us their same look before, so I kind of had a feeling what he was going to do once I seen two eliminate, so I kind of settled my feet and kind of played the route, and ball came right to me.
So you took a little bit of stuff from practice, right? It was almost like watching tape, only you had to do it live, right?
For sure. Facts. Because me and D. Effort, before the game, we kind of talked about some of the looks we got at practice. It was like, they run this at the game, we're going to make this play. He like, I'm going to make this play. And that was one of my plays where I was like, they run that route, I'm going to try to sit on it and pick it off, and it happened.
There it is, man. I love that. Take it for practice. Hey, that's what you got to do. Take it to the game. All right, tell me about the joint practice. Practices, the value for you, those kind of reps. A lot of people are talking about, do you play in the preseason games or not play in the preseason games? Now, you're doing both. Tell me about the value of the practices and then combine it with the game.
Well, the good thing about the practices is you always get so many reps. And, you know, just practice, you always just get better. And then you get to go against other guys, get to see unscouted looks, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So it always helps you, especially coming in with a new DC and just new defense. You get to practice all your tools and stuff on another team and actually get to compete. And then, like I said, once you take it out from the joint practice, like come out here tonight and see those same looks and see now can I take what I had at practice and read at practice and take it into the game and really trust it. So that's kind of one of those neat things about that. And I'm one of the players, like, I ain't the biggest, I ain't the strongest, you know, but I'm smart. And so I kind of let that be like my game. So when I see something, I kind of trust it.
Yeah, you also are going to come up and hit people because I've seen that too. All right, tell me about this cornerback race or the cornerback competition. There's a lot of competition there. You've played here. You've got some guys that are banged up that aren't playing. Obviously, you don't make the club in the tub. That's the old adage. You're out on the field playing. Tell me about the competition, where you are mentally.
Well, the competition is competition. Like, it's always been competition here. Once the day I stepped out on the field here, it was always competition at the corner position. So I always just go out and, you know, compete with myself and worry about myself, and God going to take care of the rest. So I just go out and make sure I work my hardest and do everything I can do to make sure that I make a good just put a good foot forward for making the team, and that's what I try to do every game, every practice.
And you're not just doing it on defense, you're doing it on special teams.
Yes, sir, most definitely. Special teams is, you know, everybody know, like, special teams is a big thing for the NFL. Everybody not going to go out there and play snaps. You might get fortunate and play a lot of snaps, but, you know, like, we got two good corners, AJ and Mike, so my role going to have to be special teams. You know, other guys' role got to be special teams in the room, so I always take value in that.
Don't read a dog by his size. This guy can go.
Yes, sir, thanks, most definitely. Yes, sir, thank you.
I'll tell you what. That was a good interview. He came off very well. Know your role, excited to play. He just wants to be here. He's just here to do his job. I like that.
Gleaning stuff from practice.
Yeah, this kid may have a little something here. Natron Brooks. I remember him last year. He popped a little bit last year too. But like you said, the depth is just something that you got to overcome. And when you have established starters there, you got to just play whatever your role is. Another guy that could be fighting for a roster spot, caught another touchdown tonight, was Chris Blair, and that'll lead us into how we wrap things up, talking about the wide receiver depth, G and I. But first, let's hear Chris Blair in the locker room after the game with Dave Archer.
Another big play by Chris Blair. It seems like all you're doing is making big plays in the preseason. Tell me about just going out there and competing, Chris.
I just try to take advantage of every opportunity that I get. It's a blessing for me to be able to go out there with my teammates and seize the moments. Just going out there and making the best of, like I said, every opportunity that we get and just getting to compete versus the Titans tonight, it was great.
Do you sense that I almost sense that Chris Blair is a guy that maybe obviously your teammates know, your coaches know, which is the most important thing, but kind of the forgotten guy. Everybody talking about this guy and that guy, and Chris Blair just going out and doing what you're doing. 3 for 78 tonight. You had 3 for 51 touchdowns both nights. Tell me about that and maybe a little chip on your shoulder.
Yeah, it's always a chip on my shoulder for me. I try to just come out of control of the things that I can, and what I can, I just leave it to the man upstairs. And good thing I got great coaches who try to put the ball in my hands and allow me to make plays, and great teammates who trust me to go out there and do my job. So I just try to do my best.
Well, there's certainly a quarterback in there, an Easton Stick, that seems to try to find number 19. You feel like you got a little rhythm going with one another?
Absolutely, yeah. I always tell Easton if he needs to play, he can always come to me at any point in time. And he kept coming to me on the sideline telling me that, hey, I'm coming, just stay patient. And I knew when they told me I had another drive, I figured that he was going to try to find me, and that the ball was, and hey, touchdown.
Touchdown. Love the play you made last week. You get the corner up bump. You stack the corner, got him behind you, one on the fade. Mm-hmm. Easy touchdown, right? So. This one, I don't know if the corner was peeking in the backfield, but you went right by him. Tell me a little bit about what you saw and how that play came together for you.
We ran the play earlier in the game, and it was an interception. So we came back to it, and we kind of figured that they were sending cover two, and every time they seen an out route, the corner would kind of like leave the go ball and expect the safety to get over top, and the safety didn't get wide enough. So Easton seen it the first time and made the mistake, and then he came back to it, and he knew that I'd pop open.
Now,
so.
Is that something you guys talked about on the sideline a little bit? Or just kind of caught eyes?
Me and Easton didn't say anything, but I think after he kind of looked at the iPad or whatnot, sure, and seen where he messed up the first time, he kind of took a shot on it. He seen the safety didn't get over. He was like, hey, let's try it. So
let's take a shot. Let's get a touchdown. Chris Blair, all he does is keep making plays. Thanks, man.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Appreciate you.
Now, the problem for Chris Blair is, unlike Natron Brooks, there may just be too many cooks in the kitchen for Mr. Blair in order to make the roster. Gee, I know you're doing final roster predictions as we speak. Is Chris Blair a guy that you're looking at to make the team?
No, unfortunately not.
Too many cooks in the kitchen.
Just a lot of people in the roster that, I mean, look, Chris Blair's made plays. He made plays for the Falcons at the end of last season. You know, when Darnell Mooney went out, and he, I mean, it's just one of those things. There are only 53 spots, and I think he's a guy who I believe could make it through and land on the practice squad. But David Sills is somebody who I see is above him. Casey Washington, I feel like, has already solidified his spot. So if you're going to keep six guys, I think maybe even David Sills is on the outside looking in. But if you keep seven, and he's still on the outside looking in. It's just one of the realities of this league.
Yeah, it was interesting because before the show we were talking and you had mentioned that they also have Jamal Agnew, who we haven't seen yet, but he's going to be their primary returner. But on the roster, and I'm putting up air quotes, he's listed as a wide receiver.
He's a wide receiver. Yeah, that's his job, you know, but he's not going to take reps at wide receiver. Kadarius Hodge at least will take reps at wide receiver.
Yeah, I mean, we saw him win a game last year.
Yeah. Yeah, 190-ish yards or something like that last year. Almost all of them came on one play. But, you know, ultimately, he's not a guy who's going to be taking a bunch of reps. He's a special teamer, you know. And, I mean, Chris Blair, I don't know. It's just one of those things. You're just in a tough spot. There are going to be a lot of very difficult decisions that this team's going to have to make.
When are we getting an update on Mooney, man? What's going on?
Your guess is as good
as
mine.
What is going on about Darnell Mooney, man?
We'll ask him on Monday. I know that's going to be one of the first questions that that the media asks when we get up there to Flowery Branch.
Didn't Penix kind of say, like, I expect him back?
Penix? I don't know if that's a Freudian slip or if it was
just a Cousian slip.
A Cousian slip. Oh, I like that. I don't know if it was one of those types of situations, but it was I think that there's just my opinion. This, I'm not basing this off of anything I've heard or any report. This is not an official report, but I think he should be back by week one just based off of what they've said and the way that they've said it. I can't base that on anything. That's not an official report. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying in my opinion, I think there's that he should be back week one. But he also could start on the pup list. He could start on that reserve pup list and miss the first four games of the season. That's also a very realistic situation. You know, similar to what Troy Andersen could be going through as well, who's another guy who's still coming back from a knee injury. And I can't report on everything that he was doing up on the other practice field necessarily, just because as a credentialed person, I'm not allowed to do that. But he is somebody who may not see any reps in practice this summer and may not get cleared to train. So who knows? Who knows?
So before we get out of here, this is going to be the first week post media, post fans. Like, it's go time. What are like two or three things you're going to be honing in on watching over the next week and a half?
Oh, it's just the development of the offensive line. Specifically, that's going to be one thing that I'm going to keep an eye on. I think that this team is going to make some moves. I would be very surprised if they don't make moves on the offensive line and just sort of like bolster some of that depth. I'm a little concerned with Javon Gwynn and guys like that at the center position, mostly because you have a guy right now who, you know, he's never come out of week one as a starter before. He started 5-6 games last year, but he didn't come in week one as a starter. You know, Ryan Neuzel's a good player, but it's like, I kind of want to go get a veteran and bring somebody in who knows how to, you know, do everything and kind of be kind of a steady guy behind him. And
but it sounds
that's
like
not
they really
something...
like him.
No, I love Neuzel. I think Neuzel's the guy. Like, don't get me wrong, but I kind of would not be surprised if there's a center who's cut on some other team in the NFL. The Falcons bring him in for a workout.
The perfect guy would have been David Andrews if he didn't retire.
Yeah, I mean,
because Georgia boy, you know.
Yeah. I think he was. His career was just. I mean, he was ready to move on. But, I think that's a kind of something to keep an eye on. But then on top of that, it's just rotations in the secondary. I mean, that's really the most captivating thing, I guess you can say. It's not a lot of position battles, really. Just in general, I mean, it's a lot of roster battles. Like which guys make the roster at the linebacker position, at the defensive line, at the cornerback position specifically. But when you get to the nickelback position, who is the guy? You got three guys who are fighting for battle or for spots. Four
seems
to somebody.
Like it's going to be D. Alford.
D. Alford looks like he's going to be the starter here. I think Billy Bowman's kind of played his way into a couple, at least a role of some kind. He can give you reps on special teams, as evidenced by what he did last Friday against the Lions. But I mean, Mike Ford's also somebody you're paying enough guaranteed money to that it would make a lot of sense to cut him, just outright cut him, because he can add things on special teams. But are you really going to carry three nickelbacks? I mean, that's just kind of an interesting spot for yourself in.
If those are three of your core special teams players, I guess you could get away with it. But
maybe
if that's
because D'Alford can return punts and kicks, and that's where. I mean, Jamal Agnew better be really good at returning kicks. You know,
some other guys tonight.
Yeah, they've been doing. Yeah,
and,
Jesse Matthews isn't going to make the roster. I'd be very, very surprised if that happened.
Drummond was back there.
I would be very surprised if Dylan Drummond made the roster.
But I'm just saying, it seems like they're open.
And that's something that I would say has been a relatively consistent thing throughout the course of the summer. Agnew's been dealing with a bit of an injury, or he's been dealing with something. He just hasn't been. He hasn't been actively practicing. That's all I know. He's just been standing in street clothes for most of training camp last week or so. But I mean, they showed his highlights. He's somebody who can move, man. He can really move. But
oh, yeah, he's been in the league he's an established.
Yeah, he's
player.
Got a
like,
very
yeah, he's,
defined role for this team.
And that's why I'm just surprised he's not. I know he's dealing with an injury, but I'm surprised his role wasn't made more defined when he joined the team. I guess
that is his defined role.
Yeah,
that is the defined role. That's what he's going to do.
He'll return kicks and
he just sort of lines up and does drills with the wide receivers. That's about it.
Yeah,
he might as well go hang out with Young Waiku.
Well, we'll see how that shakes out. All right, G, appreciate you as always. We'll do this again next week after they're going to be playing in Jerry's World. That should be fun. It'll be fun to watch. I mean, that'll be fun to see, at least visually. I don't know who's going to play at this point, but we shall see. All right, this has been the Falcons Flyover. We'll do this thing again next week for the final time in the preseason, and then the next time we chat after that will be me and you talking about week one versus Tampa. Can't wait to do it. This has been the Falcons Flyover on 92.9 The Game.